Well, we made it. I'm not sure how. Just getting ready to go on the air. I get a phone call from somebody who thinks this is a conference call line for Bob Chapman. No, not today. Welcome and good evening to another installment of Life, Liberty,
and all that jazz, baby.
Hey, Rod, you recognize that voice?
I thought you were over. I thought you were over with Jerry Moraine writing an order or something.
Yeah, that's the sound. I had Jerry's voice out in quite a while. Anyway, glad to have you here on this 19th day of October 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And yes, this is Wednesdays with Roger. And thanks to Raj for taking the Wednesday program last week. I was probably 30 minutes into a train trip on that particular day, and I think that was the day. I've lost track. Yeah. And there's no way I'd have done a live broadcast from a train. I mean, you know, they had bankers robbing the train. I mean, cowboys robbing the train, and, you know, you get the clickety-clack, and we got a lovely young gal. In fact, this is the second year in a row we've listened to her monologue coming back from the Grand Canyon. And Bill finally made it back home to lousy weather, and he's sicker than a dog, and so here we sit.
Well, the cowboys robbing the train might have made people think of current events.
Well, the interesting thing was, of course, they got guys dressed up like bad guys, and they're riding across the prairie, and the train slows up, it gets hijacked, and they come through and, you know, give us your money, partner, and all that stuff, and that was one thing. You expected that, but then when the sheriff came through, I hollered out, "Oh, my God, there's the real bad guy," because I'm sure he's probably going back to hijack the robbers, and the robbers are going to be in jail, and the sheriff's going to have the booty, and that's going to be the end of it. So,
stranger things have happened.
Oh, boy, haven't they ever. I'm not going to spend really any time with the economic stuff. Rod, you and I talked earlier today, and you know that over this last probably three-plus weeks, I have spent an inordinate amount of time talking about the protests in Wall Street and Cleveland and Sarasota and Oakland, California, up in Seattle. It's, of course, spread around the world. And as I mentioned to you and as I have to the audience, what becomes amazing to me is, God, it's time for a break already. Sit tight on this. We'll be back. I'll finish saying what I've got to say. We got a lot to cover this hour.
Put out that fire. You're the lover I have waited for. You're the mate that fate had me created.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere. Heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
freeze-dry guy customers take advantage. No, we really want you to take advantage of the October 2011 month special. We have bug-out meat buckets to beef up your real freeze-dried beef and chicken supply. You can beat everyone to the punch because we're offering freeze-dry guy customers this order early October deal. Special pre-order price of $119 is now $109. Whether on the go or storing for the future, you have a gold standard in convenience, taste, and nutrition. When variety and quick preparation is paramount, our handy four-serving pouches are excellent for 72-hour kits, camping, hunting, and backpacking. Our freeze-dried meat can even be added to your everyday routine. From last-minute dinner ideas to high-protein snacks, order now at freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Father Time coming back out of the break. Clint Eastwood, Clint's Blues. Talking just before we went to the break about you know, this ongoing mess with the Occupy Wall Street, and as I've continued to say for 3 weeks, that if these characters really want to make a difference, then they need to move that entire occupation to Washington, D.C. But that obviously does not fit the socialists' direction they want to go. And one of the things I've talked about is how everybody out there seems to want something for nothing. They want everyone else who's worked so hard for something to give it up so that they can have. And one of the comments I came across today was absolutely shocking to me. You want to talk about somebody who wants everything for nothing. I started to read an article. They're getting free food. They're getting blankets. They're getting their clothes and their sleeping bags laundered. They're not having to spend a dime for this stuff. And I came across one guy who made a comment, out of condoms in Zuccotti Park. We're talking rubbers here, folks, okay? And we need people to donate some new ones. They even expect that their rubbers be donated. These kids are unbelievable, Raj. Anyway, Roger Sales, good to be on the air with you again.
Thanks, Jeff. It's good to be back. There's so much going on. It's just, I mean, it's impossible to keep up with it all almost, yeah. Really. And much less to talk about it and touch on it and have all the implications and overview painted in an hour's worth of time. I'd like to say in a little more of a higher view of this protest that started nationwide, now worldwide, is that at least, and certainly there are great forces trying to steer it. And the reason the great forces are trying to steer it, I think, is because it scares the woo-woo out of them. Okay, because now you're really starting to have a place where people can come to, where they can generate, and people are starting to voice their frustrations, be it socialist or communist influence or whatever else. And part of our job is to get our message in there, because obviously people are at least talking about it and aware of the problem. And, you know, I'd say this in all my years of trying to present this material and teach people what really has been done to them. And it's beyond any question, because I back up mine all with facts. I've done it. This isn't any speculation and telling you where to go read something. I've done this, okay? And I understand it. I've written it in a book, and you're about to get your hands on it here real shortly. And I think it's going to turn the light bulbs on for a lot of you. And that's what we need, is to get this information into that mindset of people. And that was the point I wanted to make. We've got a little clip queued up. It lasts a couple of minutes. Somebody sent it to me the other day. I think it was Senorita Candy or Senora Candy, pardon. And this is a guy being interviewed that just came back from one of the Los Angeles area Occupy meetings. And he's got some very, very relevant observations on what I just talked about. And I wanted to play it for you, and we'll discuss it a little bit on the backside. So, Mike, if you got your trigger finger happy, shoot.
Good afternoon. This is Charles North. I just spent about three and a half hours down at Occupy LA at the courthouse. And what I saw there was quite disappointing, as a matter of fact. I'm sending this message to a friend of mine so that she can start to review situations and get some things corrected. What I saw was a massive amount of energy that has no place to go. What I saw was a massive amount of pain in the people and everything that they were saying. All I saw was complaints about the past, complaints about what's wrong, complaints about everything under the sun. Yeah. Anything that you could possibly imagine is represented there, but the overall tenor is desperation. The overall tenor is fear. The overall tenor is loss. There was not one sign in the campground there, or one sign in the street with the thousands of people I saw, that had anything to do with any kind of solution. Let's think about this a minute. With no solution, there is no movement. With no identity of a solution, even the scintilla of a small part of a solution being presented, there is no cohesion. You have too many fractionalized and disparate views complaining about everything. In my mind, it's very simple. People that talk about solutions create solutions. People that talk about the problems are the problems. The Occupy movement, while it expresses the sentiment of the country very accurately, also reflects the lack of critical thinking and lack of actual dedication to doing anything of value. Complaining never solved anything. There is no value in complaining. How many of us have been complained about or complained to or complained around? We don't listen, we close our ears. That's the problem with the Occupy movement. It needs a statement, a manifesto. A pledge has been presented. The pledge says that we agree to work on solutions. We agree to work on solutions for a common cause, to clean up the bank system. Because when we look at it in context of the rest of our lives, the bank system touches all of us in the same way, not just in this country, but worldwide. I'd like to call on anyone that sees this, in particular those in the media-type jobs. I heard about rock stars that could be there, and interviews that could be had, and YouTubes that could be done, and all of these wonderful things that could really create a movement. Yet there's no common goal. A common goal is simply to make a statement of pain, simply to make a statement of frustration, and simply to exhibit the fear that most people are living in. The actual fact of the matter is, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, and fear is nothing more than fun in disguise. Please look at these things in the context that they're offered. Solutions are available. Organization is available. One march with an organized solution, with everyone chanting the same thing, will change the world. 10,000 marches with 20,000 people per march, all complaining about different issues, will not change anything. And the reason for that is the powers that be know that they can buy off enough of the people to continue to operate the way that they are. When there's a single cohesive message by everyone, there is no more buy-off. There is no more agreement. The fallacy is this country is not a democracy. 51% can't control 49% in the republic. We follow the law in the republic. So the bottom line is, this movement will die, and I predict it'll die in the next 10 days unless there's some sort of organizational plan put together to present a single issue and start drawing in the people that can really speak for it. I hear all the names. I see all the names saying they're going to commit. And if I was them, I wouldn't commit either. That's all I've got to say today.
Okay. Does that illustrate my point?
It does, but several things came out of this that I found interesting. In early on in his message, he spoke about how he did not see a single sign with a solution. Well, first of all, the socialist or communist way of doing things does not provide a solution that is understandable to them. They're not meant. The protesters are not meant to know what the solution is or what the end game is or what the desires are of their handlers. That's the first thing I saw. Yeah. The second thing is that because, and I've said this, Roger, you've heard me say this on the air for a lot of years, that I am convinced, I've taken so many phone calls, so many emails, in some cases on-air callers, people, well, all you guys do is talk about the problems. You don't never provide a solution. You know, since you and I have been doing this series now since late March, early April, that is exactly what we are providing or attempting to provide people with is a solution. And I'm convinced for the largest percentage of listeners or even people who may be sitting there listening to watching Fox News or CNN or NPR or whatever, they don't want solutions because it requires personal responsibility. It requires them to get up off their dead behinds, turn off the television, and take the necessary actions to come to the proper resolve. But the average person does not want to do it.
No, and I don't know if that's all the reasons either. I've come to conclude that a part of the reason that people reject this message, and not even without all those other interactions, is because if they accept one part of it, they have to go back and revalue their entire value system, their worldview, their personal view,
their entire lives.
And they're not willing to do that.
Okay. No, they're not.
They're not willing to face the truth. Now, and I bring this back biblically, man, because this is a spiritual battle I've been led here. I was no real evangelical guy when I got into this, okay? I spent many years in the music business, man. I've done it all, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that
You're telling us that you were not a Puritan.
I was not a Puritan in my early years. But what I will tell you is in the Old Testament, it says in there, and I can't quote you the chapter and the verse, but I know it says it in there, and it says, I will send them strong delusion that they will believe a lie. So if you believe that's God's word, and I've covered this a number of times on this show, if you believe that's God's word, then there's people out there that just aren't supposed to know. And you better quit messing with them and letting them upset you and go try and find God's people that are supposed to know and don't yet.
Yeah, right. Well, the other thing that I found interesting near the end of his recording when he said that he believes this is going to dissipate in 10 days. I don't think it's going to. The powers that be are not going to allow it to disappear in 10 days.
Well, neither are we. We're going to talk about that.
We'll be back on the side of the break. Stay with us.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Coming back with a little Duke Ellington doing his best imitation of Errol Garner with the growling and the groaning. You know, it's good stuff. Back to our commentary about the guy's video, and I know you've got some other directions you'd like to go tonight, but that was my general feeling when he talked about that he believes that this these demonstrations will all be over in 10 days because they have no direction. Unfortunately, the one area that, and I would say looking at the guy's image, he's probably about my age, maybe a little bit older, maybe, who knows, maybe a little bit younger. But
is he's that young?
Yeah, yeah, right.
I thought he looked older than that.
Well, he could, but the reality is that he's looking at these through different eyes. These kids don't need a direction. Yes, I don't disagree. They're angry about the direction everything has gone. But you know what? When your mommy and daddies have wiped your butt, clothed you, fed you, given you a car at the age of 16, 17, 18, are paying for your education, and you have had no responsibility your entire life, I'm sorry, you ain't paid your dues. It's great that you're squawking, but I still maintain that the squawking is misguided. The squawking needs to be directed at Washington, D.C., not at Wall Street. I'm not saying Wall Street are good guys because, yeah, the Wall Street and the bankers are crooks and criminals, and they're screwing us left and right. But you know why? Because they've got the lobbyists to work Washington, D.C. to get their way.
And the only way we're going to change it without any kind of real violent confrontations is through education and activism. And that's what I wanted to bring out and tail this into, because the guy was sitting there talking about all the energy there, and we know the frustration all around the country and especially
absolutely
the world, but we're talking about the United States right now, broadcasting mainly to that footprint. And and as everybody that hears these words knows, it ain't getting any better by the day.
No, it's not.
It's only getting worse, and you're going to have more and more people that are seeing this and starting to wake up, and I think that's really what my message has been waiting for all these years, because before people weren't ready to listen. Everything was great as long as they had change in one pocket and, you know, could go about but their lives, everything was okay, but it's not okay now, and they're starting to ask questions. And what was he saying? We need solutions. Well, I got a solution, okay? And you can either be an activist and approach it on a frontline basis and do it yourself, or you can start learning and educating and trying to find other people and educate them that do want to step out there and be a frontline warrior and try and put these words on God's people. Because when these words and this knowledge and this understanding falls on God's people's ears and tickles their heart, wonderful things happen, all right? So we've got a solution to that. This isn't theory. I've heard a lot of theory on the radio. I hear it constantly. This is fact, okay? And I can tell you that because it's proven legally and historically through Supreme Court cases with their language and their rules and their laws and their interpretations, and even more so than that because I've personally done it. Okay.
So what you're talking about doing is using their laws to beat them at their own game.
Well, what the confusion is that the laws are written correctly. We just don't understand them because the definitions of the words are turned around. Okay. Right. The laws are written correctly. And what my information does for you is it allows you to learn and understand and identify which words have been used incorrectly and misleadingly for you. And you have the ability then, if you so choose, to straighten it out. And yeah. It's your choice. And that choice is between you and God, okay? And it's a powerful remedy. And the people that have listened to this broadcast over the last 6 months and followed it and listened to these CDs and those instructional three programs we did over and over again, three and four times to learn it, and still picking up new things every time and making copies and passing them out to everybody they know and making those affidavits that was available on your site that still is somewhere buried under there that'll be available on my site for you to read. And going out and constructing their own because they understood the material and went and filed. In fact, I had an email just earlier this week from another one of our listeners, Karen, out there in the Southwest. You know who you are. And she filed an affidavit and sent it to the State Department. The final arbiter of all matters concerning citizenship, the U.S. State Department. This isn't going over to some Joe Blow or going up and filing a newspaper. This is something that's taken. It's legally and official. It's properly executed and sending it to the number one authority in charge of all matters concerning citizenship and political status. And she got her passport back in 10 days.
Interesting. Okay. We won't get into it tonight, but I sent you an email.
I already looked at it. I looked at it a minute ago on person,
yeah.
And that's what we're going to trail into in a minute here.
Excellent.
But I wanted to cover a couple of things. You know, I'm a big fisherman. I come from a big fishing family.
Right.
And I've done a lot of fishing in Alaska when I was younger. I caught a lot of salmon and a lot of trout, too. And I've done an extensive amount of fishing down off my hometown, Panama City, and in the Gulf Coast.
I still got the pictures you sent me. I saw you there.
So we put some good ones in the box down there, man. So anyway, when you get one of those big fish on the line like that, and you've fought him for a while, especially one of those king mackerels, because this is kind of the way they fight, and you get a good one, and he'll run a couple of times, and you get about three or four good runs out of him, and he tires out. And when he's right at the end, right before you're going to bring him up to the boat and gaff him and stick him in the box, his head and body give a little shake, okay? And you can feel that on the line. All right, and that's what the people that run our country are doing. They're giving a shake, man, because they're just about done.
Oh, good. I'd sure like to get their hooks in their mouths, boy. Just start to jerking. We'll be right back, and we're going to have the long haul here, and I'll tell you, this hour is going to go fast.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Back on this Wednesday afternoon with Roger Sales, and just talking about a lot of really neat stuff. For those of you who missed, we played an audio clip earlier. You're going to want to go back and pick up the archives on tonight's program. Roger, pick up where we kind of left off. I know you've got some other really good stuff going on here.
Well, let's talk about fish at the end of the run there. Any of you that are fishermen probably know what I'm talking about. And what I see out there is a big fish with big teeth that's at the end of his run. And I see a lot of signs of that. One of the signs is the coming of age of this investigation with this gun walking by Clinton and all of the other fraud and drugs and all of the blackness and the darkness that it leads to, that all these people promote through their Hegelian dialectical activities and their mercantilism, which is kind of what it is. I see this thing this week where Israel is trading one soldier for 1,000 and something Palestinians, and that was 2 days ago, right?
Yeah.
And then today they announced they're trading, like, was it 80 Egyptians for one Israeli?
Now, this is insanity.
It's not insanity. Don't carry me off there yet. Let me finish.
All right.
Because what we're doing is we're going back and assessing our enemy and how he works. Okay. Now, this analogy didn't come from me. It came from Joel Skousen. I heard him in an interview last night, and I thought the point was so valid that I wanted to mention it here tonight. Because what's happening, back to our fish at the end of a run analogy here, is the fish is shaking. And the fish that's shaking right now is a gefilte fish, and it's over there in Satan's sandbox. And that little gefilte fish has done traded 1,000 to 1, where before, if you killed one of them, they wanted to kill 10 of you. So they kill 10 of you, but they give you back 1,000 to 1. Now, that just doesn't go with our conventional history of the way the Israelis do things, does it?
No, it does not.
So, and then they turn around the next day and do the same thing with Egypt. Why?
Well, I would suspect the same thing. My original thought was, well, they're finally getting wise to the cost of shekels. Hey, we give them 1,500 of theirs. We take one of ours. We cut our expenses. We save the money.
How about you've had 1,000 Palestinians in jail for 5 years or more, torturing and beating and doing everything they do to them over there that's almost unhumanly imaginable.
The problem, what happens
and then
now
you turn them back out into their society, they've just created 1,000 more warriors that are 10 times madder than when they went in and got in jail. Now
absolutely.
We're going to go back and escalate the whole thing, because that gives them more reason on the Hegelian dialectic. It's the front end of the Hegelian dialectic that they love to pose under generosity and all the other labels they like to paint themselves with. So I thought that was an extremely interesting analogy. And as I've thought about it all day, I actually thought that it was probably pretty darn true, too.
Yes.
We see what's happening, as we've talked about, with this, you want to call it an awareness, a Wall Street Fed, there's a problem awareness. But now what we got to do is, like the guy said, is we got to get them a solution. And you see, the thing is we've got a powerful solution. It's not the only solution. You know, I've come to even understand here, as right as I know this information is, and we're going to cover some specific legal stuff here in a second. I wanted to say that earlier this week I heard somebody I really, really, really admire on another radio show on the Quintessential Other Network. And his name is Al Adask. And I'm going to tell you, I've read Al Adask's Anti-Shyster magazine for years back in the 90s and passed it around and turned everybody I could onto it. I've spoken with Al a couple of times on the phone. We're not friends. I have a feeling we're probably going to be speaking much more in the near future as he gets his hands on this book. And Al, as some, many of you know, I heard it alluded to in the last hour. Al won a case against the state of Texas with the feds behind him, as he was working with some people that manufactured colloidal silver. And, they went after him tooth and nail for years, really, and all of the court costs and everything else. And as he was reading the statutes, he saw in the statutes where the statutes on these drug things said men and other animals. And he mounted a case in his defense on genesis and the fact that he's a man and not another animal. Pardon me. And as he said the other day, the minute he came in with that defense, the millions of dollars they'd spent and the years they'd put into that case, they folded like a cheap suit. Okay?
Sheesh.
So there's more ways than one to skin a cat. But what we're trying to do is get the most correct way with the most correct information and get the most people educated with the most correct information, because we're going to take this thing back. There's going to be a cataclysmic train wreck coming. It's the quintessential first law of physics. It's the immovable force, the irresistible force versus the immovable object. And it's coming like a freight train. Okay? None of us know which direction it's coming from, but we pretty well all know that it's headed our way. Okay? In some degree, and ain't one degree of it that I can see that looks very pretty. Except if you look at the other side on what he said, which is remedies, and the fact when you've got chaos, you can bring order out of it. And the question is, are we going to have their order or are we going to have our order? And if we're going to have our order, it ain't going to come, and it ain't going to come the right way unless the people are educated as the correct concepts and the correct things that we're talking about and not some of these wild theories that are out there. Okay. So let me say that while we're touching on this, that the name of the book has been changed slightly. It was originally titled Government by the Treachery and the Deception of Words. And we've altered that slightly. And the new title is From Sovereign to Serf, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words.
Powerful, very powerful. From sovereignty to serf. It makes a lot of sense because that's really what it's doing. Of course, what we're trying to do is teach people how to go from serf back to sovereignty.
Of course, but unless they know how they got where they are, they'll never know how to find the trail back.
And absolutely.
And it spells it out much better than I could have ever done it. I will tell you that the book has been edited and rewritten in many places. I added this, told them about this last week. You weren't here, Jeff. And I've read it now through three times. I just finished again the third time this afternoon in the final edit. It is powerful.
Great.
After all the years that I've been heavily involved in this, as I have been, and know it like the back of my hand, literally, I'm going to tell you, I learn new things every time I read it. Okay.
How much has changed from the galleys you sent me 3 weeks ago?
Probably not too much, a little bit, a couple of edits through changes, but I think the bulk of it was in what I sent you. Powerful. I don't think, my goal is to make not one thing in this book indisputable.
Right.
Indisputable, make it all indisputable. So I wanted to mention that, And I wanted to address something, and I wanted to give you, if you're new to this and you didn't hear all this stuff we've been talking about months ago and you hadn't gone back to the archives and you're wondering if it's like the other things you hear on here, we're not, okay? We go back to the straight black letter law, and that's what I want to do is read one thing out of the book right here, and that is the definition we've got here under the legal definition section of person, because we heard a lot last hour about person. A guy called in and said, I ain't no person. Sir, I hate to break it to you, but you are, okay? But that's not the question, are you a person or not? The question is, which type of person are you, okay? Mm. So let me do this. Person, a being or entity, natural or artificial, to which the law ascribes rights and duties. To which the law ascribes rights and duties. That's what a person is, a being or an entity to whom the law ascribes rights and duties. Now the question becomes, which rights are ascribed to you? And even more importantly, what are the correlative duties that are owed from your receipt of that right or civil or benefit? You could call it that also. And this is what it says under that. This is out of English jurisprudence. It says, persons are the subject of rights and duties. And as a subject of a right, the person is the object of a correlative duty, and conversely. The subject of a right has been called by Professor Holland a person of inherence. The subject of a duty, the person of incidence. Entitled and bound are the terms in common use in England, and for most purposes they're adequate. Every full citizen is a person. Other human beings, namely subjects who are not citizens, may be persons. But not every human being is necessarily a person, for a person is capable of rights and duties, and there may well be human beings having no legal rights, bold underlined, as was the case with slaves, feudal serfs, in English law. Now, that's from Bouvier's Law Dictionary, 1914, if you want to source it. Okay?
That sounds like one of those descendants of that Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy.
Yeah, it does, it does. So my question, if these guys wanted a remedy and a solution, we got a solution for them, okay? They can either learn and educate themselves and spread the word, or they can get out there on the front lines if they want to. And if they want to have a big cry with about 20 or 40 or 80 or 100 or a million or 2 million people going into D.C. or New York or whoever else, how about the battle cry, surfs up, surfs up, surfs up, surfs up, surfs up.
It's interesting because we know in what mentality that those terms have been used in the last probably five decades. Has to do with the Malibu crowd.
Of course, it would be SERF.
Of course. Okay.
So I wanted to prime you. I think we may have some real exciting news for y'all next week. We're sure we're working very hard. And I know that you're going to be totally satisfied when you get your hands on this. And I'm going to tell you right now, okay, most of you, with very few exceptions, this is going to be like taking a drink of water out of a fire hydrant. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not fielding one single question from anybody that hadn't read that book at least twice, cover to cover.
You know what? I got to be honest. That's the proper approach, because otherwise people get into it and get three paragraphs into the book, and they got a question already. You know what? One paragraph begets an answer in the next, and just get through it and read it again. That is probably the wisest approach you could take. Because
people are
not willing to put in the effort to read it from cover to cover twice to make sure they absorb it all, then frankly, they don't have the commitment to set themselves free, and they shouldn't be bothering you or anyone else.
Well, there's a lot in here. There's been a lot added that I didn't write. You know, my kind of the style I like is like, you know, sitting on the back of a pickup truck tailgate that's down and sitting there with a straw in your mouth and telling somebody something, and that's kind of, you know, my style. And what has happened is the teachers, my teachers have edited and added a lot to this book. And it is now not only a sit on the back of the tailgate kind of thing, but it's also highly scholarly and extremely sophisticated in the legal arguments that are presented. And there's a lot of history in there that are really going to really shock some of you. For instance, and we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, and I didn't even really honestly realize it, but when the 14th Amendment was passed, it only made the blacks this federal citizen. Okay? And it wasn't, I heard the guy before me saying it was in the 1870s or something when everybody got in there. Well, you see, it wasn't even possible until the Wong Kim Ark case, because yeah. It was in the Wong Kim Ark case that he allowed Chinese and everybody else, and they adopted the old common law rule of citizenship that you are a citizen of the terra, the ground you're born on, instead of the international view, which would apply to sovereigns, by the way, like the King of England. If the King of England's off on a diplomatic, let's use the Queen. If the Queen of England's off on a diplomatic jaunt and has a baby, say over in Austria, that just because the baby was in Austria doesn't mean she doesn't get entitled to inherit the Queen of the throne of England. And why is that, Jeff?
Keep rolling. I've got a side issue I have to deal with here real quickly.
You got more horses to take care of, Val.
This is one of these days, reason, man. It's a weird one, yeah.
The reason that that isn't right is because if that was the case, she couldn't come back and inherit the Queen of England, okay, and inherit the throne of England. And since under the sovereignty, the way that it was set up by the founders of our country, that the same rule should apply. The sovereign, if born in another land, should have that sovereignty and that birthright follow the parent. So there's a lot of these kind of things in there. There's an awful lot of exhibition and interesting analysis and putting a lot of the onus here on the federal judiciary and the judges. And there's some very interesting quotes that go back about the ability of the judges to go back and actually make constitutional law, you know, interpreting the Constitution instead of ruling judicially on the laws that are there already. And what you find when you look into a couple of these very important cases is that they really made political decisions as opposed to judicial decisions. All that's in there. And it's in there in great depth and great detail. And it's not that anybody can't follow it, but those of you that are not used to reading this kind of stuff, you're going to have to take extra special care if you want the information, which I trust that you want to learn and understand what's going on and why you and we collectively in our country and in the world are in the condition that we're in. So that's a very important thing that I also wanted to mention here this evening. Are you there, Jeff? Are you back?
I am here.
Okay.
I think I'm here. Yeah. I'm here. I'm listening. I don't know if I got my microphone on or not. This has been a strange hour for me. I never go through this kind of nonsense during an hour's program, but it's happening today.
As a good friend of mine says, sometimes you get the bear, and sometimes the bear gets you.
If you're lucky, you're bear. Never mind. That's
I wrote down a bunch of things to talk about here today as I was going through that book. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is how this empowers you. Okay, and we go into that in some depth in the book, and this what we've talked about extensively on this program is how they use opposite definitions of words to really, in essence, that's how they're creating an alternate illusion, is they get your brain and your subconscious working one way and your conscious working another way. And I've come to understand that really, you know, it's like the comment real early on, Jeff, with my friend that I've spoken with a couple of times and really like over there in Eastern Tennessee, James Taylor. And James on the phone with me there after, and he said, you know, Roger, he said, I'm probably never going to do any of this, but he said, just knowing this information empowers me.
Well, speaking of empowerment, we got the empowerment of a couple of somebody's tickling the ivories in the background. We got to go to a break, take care of some network business. We'll be back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Magic has me in its spell. That old black magic.
Somebody at the network got quite a twisted sense of humor. This particular piece of music is making the rounds way too often. Welcome back to our final minutes with Roger Sales talking about empowerment.
Yeah, I was. And the point I wanted to bring out is fresh in my mind because I read it in the book. I'd kind of forgotten it was in there. But years ago when I was writing the first part of this, and this is 6 years ago or so, there was a guy that's written a book. He's been on a number of shows, coast to coast, all the big shows. His name's Dr. Bruce Lipton. And he's a specialty in these areas of subconscious and conscious mind and stuff. And he said something in that interview that I wrote in the book at the time, and I still didn't even really – it didn't really hit me the full effect of it. And this is what I'm talking about until I was reading today or the last time I read it, okay, which was about a week or so ago. And one of the things he said on that show that morning is he said what really happens – is that your subconscious handles 90% of the time and your conscious handles 10%. The subconscious is a slightly faster. And he said what really happens is when you get those two working together, you're empowered. Now, that's what this information does, is it allows you to untie the knots in your mind, to go back and see the tactics and the deceptive tactics that they use over and over and over and over and over again. Why do they use it over and over and over? Because it works.
Yeah.
And your job is to get it where it doesn't work anymore. And you got to do that between your ears. Okay? And when you do it, you're going to be just like James Taylor over there in Eastern Tennessee, right outside of Knoxville. And he said, Roger, he's 67 years old. James Taylor said, Roger, Your information empowered me.
That's powerful.
And that's the reason it empowers you.
No pun intended.
Because it teaches you what they're doing, and it allows you to go back and do what we discussed earlier that all those people don't want to do, the ones that aren't supposed to know. They're not going to make the effort. They're not going to take the plunge. They have no desire to know what's really happening. It scares the woo-woo out of them. They have to go clean their britches. Okay? And that's why they demonize you and attack you, because it's easier for them to kill the messenger and to discredit your message than for them to have to even consider one single damn aspect of it. Okay? And that's what's going on. The others are in a catatonic state. And I know we're getting close to our end here. We got a few minutes. This is something else I found in the book. Y'all know how much I like quotes, okay? And this little quote right here was from Germany's Otto von Bismarck. And I think you're going to find it most interesting. Mach schnell. It says, "The death of Lincoln was a disaster for Christendom. There was no man in the United States great enough to wear his boots. I fear that foreign bankers, with their craftiness and tortuous tricks, will..."
And, of course, who were the foreign bankers? What's going on?
Control the exuberant riches of America and should become the inheritance. Well, if we lost me, I'm here.
Here, but you really bumped out, man. Okay. It's all of a sudden we had a lot
I'm sorry,
of
buffering
going on. All right, we got to close. We've lost Roger right at the very tail end. Very important. We'll be back with him next Wednesday night. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow night with you. I got a busy night ahead of me. So without apology, my friends, I guess I may still be a little bit early. You take care of yourselves. We'll see you then.
I got you. Yes, I got you. I got you. And all that jazz.